Well, good afternoon, everyone. Who of you like or enjoys walking? That's a lot of hands going up. Now, there are different ways or types of walking. The one type of walking would be to do it as a sport. Now, you see these people in the Olympics, that funny walk that they have, they do that as a type of sport. Others do it for recreation, go in the woods, take a hike from time to time. That's a different type of walking that you can enjoy. But the walking that I want to get into right now is a little bit a different one. It's a simple one from going from point A to point B. Just that simple type of walking. Now, if you think about, you have your Google, your phone with you, your smartphone with you, and you want to go from point A to point B, and you punch in the destination where you are now and where you want to be, and it gives you a time that you will arrive. Now, usually what we do is we keep it on that little icon on the car mode, meaning you're going to drive there. But imagine you change it to the walking mode. You've done that probably by accident sometimes. If it says the car will take you 3 hours, and now suddenly it says it will take you 24 hours walking, well, you suddenly begin to feel a little bit what's going on. But that is everyone thinking about what I started to think about when, as you know, my family and I, for a short period, my wife were away. We were visiting the brethren in the UK and Europe, and we did a lot of walking. There was one point that we sat at an airport, and I asked, how far did you think that we walked today? Just from at one train station to the next and at one airport. And I looked at my smartphone, and they are very smart these days. They can exactly tell you how far did you walk that day. And I said, we walked 5.4 kilometers, or for you that understand miles, it's 3.2 miles just on an airport. So we did a lot of walking. We walked a little bit before we went for the visit. We walked in cities like New York, then later on in London, in Amsterdam, in Utrecht, Antwerp, and then we went to Brussels and Bruges. Now, some of you might say, the English will say Bruges, and then you might think, what are you saying? Did you fall down and bruise yourself? No, that's a bruise. I'm talking about Bruges, or the locals will say Brugge. That just means bridge. So we did a lot of walking in those cities. And those cities, when you walk, you see thousands and thousands of people just walking by the streets. Full New York, Amsterdam, everywhere. In Amsterdam, there are more people on bicycles. Probably 50% are walking and the other 50% are on their bicycles. I've never seen that many people on bicycles in my life before. But they also go from point A to point B. But that made me thinking, everyone. It started me to wonder about wandering. Where are these people going? It looks like some of them are wandering. I started to wonder with an O about wandering with an A. They are just walking around. Where are they going? And I started to ask the question, what does the Bible say about wandering? I started to, again, wonder about wandering. So let's go, everyone. And what I found was interesting. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. And we will pick up just a couple of verses here, looking at the context here in Genesis 4, as you turn there, everyone, I started to think about wandering. What does the Bible tell us about people walking around just wandering? Where are they going? What is their purpose? Genesis 4, and we will pick up in verse 12. Now, the context here is Cain and Abel. You know that Cain, interestingly enough, he was the first man that anyone, or any mother, Eve, saw his birth. Imagine that for a moment. Nobody's been born Adam. God created him. Eve, God took out of Adam. But Cain, he was the first man that a mother would see being born. Imagine that moment. But we go through and see what Cain did. Eventually he murdered his brother. And God spoke to him, everyone, and he received for his breaking God's law, murdering his brother, God had to hand out a punishment, so to say. And here we pick up in verse 12, it says, when you till the ground, God speaking to Cain here, and he says, when you till the ground, you shall henceforth, or it shall henceforth yield unto you, not unto you her strength, meaning the fruit of the ground. He would not be able to yield what he planted. He was looking for fruit and it would not be there. And interestingly here it says, a fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. A fugitive and a vagabond. If you quickly look at verse 14, it also says a fugitive and a vagabond. And in verse 16, as you go there, it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now wandering, you maybe wonder, where is the word wandering? Now we saw it three times in the two verses that we read, but we are just going to touch on two of them, and later on we will touch and see where it says the third time. But the first two times is a fugitive and a vagabond. If you look at the Hebrew there, it can, both of them can mean a wanderer. Brethren, due to Cain's sin, Cain was separated from God. He was sent away from God's presence, and he became a restless wanderer. He was moving round about, almost like some of the people that we would see, thinking, where were they going? Most people would go to the shop in the cities that we saw, or they go to work, or they go to a restaurant, or to a museum. But some of them, they were just wandering around, almost like Cain became a wanderer. Now, a wanderer is somebody that has no fixed course. He has no purpose, he has no destination. He's in a state of aimlessness. He travels and find no goal. He's spiritually disconnected, in a state of searching without finding. That is a wanderer. Cain and all his descendants after him became restless wanderers. Think about that for a moment. That's your punishment. God said, this is your punishment. You will become a vagabond. You will become a wanderer. We don't know how old Cain became, but imagine you heard for several hundred years, you will only be a restless wanderer for the rest of your life. That was part of his punishment. To hear that, he was never allowed to rest, he was never allowed to settle, he was never allowed to become grounded. Brethren, lack of rest became a form of punishment for Cain. The lack of rest. So rest is very, very important to God. You and I know that, brethren. So today, we will explore three ways to experience rest the way God intended. Three ways that we will go through, and just how you and I can experience rest the way God has intended for us. Let's go where you are in Genesis chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 2. He became a restless wanderer. He was never allowed to find real rest. But it's important for you and me, brethren, to rest. God wants us to rest. To God, rest is important. We'll see here in Genesis 2 and verse 2. We'll pick up in verse 1 here for some context. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. God finished his work. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. God rested. He worked and he rested. And he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which he created and has made. God rested on the seventh day. He could have chosen to rest on any particular day, but he chose. He first worked for 6 days and then he rested for the seventh day. And there it says in verse 3, and he blessed the seventh day. Why? It says there, because that he had rested from all his work. So God worked, he created, and then he rested and he experienced the blessing of rest for that particular day, that whole day that he rested. And then he decided to bless it. To bless it for whom? For you and for me. That it's a blessing for you and me to be able to rest. Brethren, God has set a pattern of rest. You and I have a pattern of rest. It's a whole day that we are given to rest. We work, we do all the things that we want to do, and then we rest. And it's a blessing for us to rest. Think about all that you've done to prepare to be ready for the Sabbath day. What went through your mind throughout the whole week to know that you are getting ready for the seventh day. And if you rested well last week, it doesn't matter what you go through on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, you have that pattern in your mind that you are going to rest again the seventh day. It becomes a pattern in your mind. We are almost, if you're many years in God's way, you get almost used to it. And God wanted that to be that way, that it's a pattern in our lives to rest. It is important to him. But then what God cursed, like Cain and the ground that he cursed, he ultimately, when he cursed it, he forced Cain to become a vagabond. How did he do it physically? He told him, you are going to be a vagabond, you are going to become a wanderer. But how did he achieve that? He cursed the ground. He couldn't get the fruit out of the ground what he needed. He had to go on physically wandering around, never able to get rest. But you and I, we have been given, brethren, a blessing. What God curses is cursed, and what God blessed is blessed. He has given us this blessing, a pattern, the seventh day that we have, a set pattern to rest from work. That's simply what this first point, this first way to experience rest is all about. And brethren, you know that very well. Let's go to Mark chapter 2, verse 27. This is a wonderful way for us to rest. A simple pattern that we follow. God set the pattern. He set it as a law. And you and I follow accordingly. We set our lives. We set our whole week according to this pattern. Mark chapter 2 verse 27 it says, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not the man for the Sabbath. That's a blessing, the blessing that God has given us to experience this day, a day of rest. Is there to benefit us, an opportunity for us to grow, to rest physically, just to be rejuvenated. But think about key impacts for those that do not rest. Think about the life of Cain. He went through the first Sabbath and he missed it. And the second one, and it became for years and years where he wasn't allowed. He was cut off from God. He was cut off from this pattern that you and I experience each and every week. When you don't have proper rest, you begin to struggle with concentration. You begin to struggle with problem solving. You begin to struggle with creativity. A lot of creative people among us, that's something that he and his descendants probably started to struggle with. You are in an increased risk of making errors and mistakes. Even accidents. How many people have made an accident? I remember driving to college early in the morning when I went back, stayed about an hour and a half from the college where I studied, and sometimes I left on Monday morning, and you have to stop and open the window because you are tired. If you leave early in the morning and you get tired, you didn't have enough rest. that can affect your ability to make judgments. I remember I lost a cousin that way. He went back from home to the base where he was stationed, and they believe he fell asleep and he made an accident. That is some of the consequences of a lack of rest. Think about heightened stress or anxiety. These are things that you and I have experienced through just the fact that we sometimes do not get rest. But this is something, brethren, that we look at and think that God has given us opportunity to rest. What about decreased energy and stamina? Increased risk of susceptibility to disease. A long list, as I mentioned, impaired judgment. And in extreme circumstances and cases, they would use sometimes the lack of rest to torture people. Think about that as well. Over time, if you do not sleep and you are sleep deprived, that's a form of torture. That was a form of punishment for Cain. But this, brethren, for us, just this one way that you and I have been given is an example that we follow each and every week. Now, how can we just make this for ourselves as simple as possible as we go forward? Simply to remember the Sabbath day. That's a simple instruction that we have been given. It comes once a week. You have that anticipation. As I mentioned, if you enjoyed it the previous week and you go through your work, you work hard, you do everything that your hand finds to do every week or every day during the week, you begin to have that anticipation, and you will not forget. You will not forget that it is about resting. That's just one way, brethren, that we look at and see God has given us rest. You can have multiple messages about the Sabbath day, but just a couple of points that I wanted to go through to give you that pattern, that set pattern that God followed and that you and I follow as well. But there's a different one, brethren, a different aspect, we could say, that makes us feel refreshed. And initially, you won't think that this is a way to be refreshed, but you will see it is one of the main ones that we will cover today, to be refreshed, to be rested, well rested. And it all comes from, and I will mention to it now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Part of all the walking that we have done during our visit recently, Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, and we will pick up in verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All of us get to a point, physically and spiritually speaking, where we get to a point, I'm heavy laden, I need rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." We will see that we can learn from Christ. "For I am a meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your life, unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So that is one verse. I want to tie three verses together, but just thinking about it, brethren, as we lay this point, one thing that stood out to me and my wife when we traveled and said we did a lot of walking. I didn't count all the steps that we've done, but you've done a lot of walking. Europe do not allow you to drive as much as walking. That's probably why there are not many overweight people. The people that we saw that were overweight were probably the people like us that visited the different cities. But people walk a lot. One of the things that we really found helpful, and we talked to each other almost each and every day about it, was after a long day of walking, we had a place to go, a hotel room or visit with brethren, and we could break bread, we could sit and we could be refreshed, take a shower, just share a meal with each other and have a conversation at the end of the day, either my wife and I at the hotel, or when we were with family or with brethren, we could do that. Now you would ask, how is that a form of rest? Being refreshed through relationships. That's the second point here, brethren. Let's go to Matthew 18. How can that be a way of resting? Matthew 18. Simple things that we are going through today, brethren. Things that you are already aware of, but just for us to put it in our mind, in the forefront of our mind, ways that God gives us to experience rest the way that He intended. Verse 20 of Matthew 18, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Christ said in the previous verse that we read that we come to Him and put our yoke on Him. Here He says where two or three are gathered together. Two or three, this is the context. We know it's when there's issues to work out between brethren, but the principle apply where there are two or three brethren together. If it was just my wife and I, or were brethren or other brethren together, the fact that we fellowshipped and got together was a way to be refreshed. How, again, asking that question, how is this possible? Let's go to the third verse in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 5, and we will pick up in verse 11. Paul speaking here to the Thessalonians, and we can read verse 10 for context. Who died for us, whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. This is something, brethren, that when you think about comfort, it means they invite. One of the meanings of comfort, you can be comforted by being together, or just an invite. And that's something that we experienced when we traveled, whether it was at the feast or before the feast, the way how brethren invite each other to ultimately to comfort yourselves together. It means there's a form of, in fellowship, there's something happening between you when you have a conversation. Sometimes you don't even maybe know about it. You're thinking about there's something that's maybe troubling you, or you feel uncomfortable about a certain situation, and then you invite somebody, you have a meal after Sabbath services or during service, during the feast, wherever you come together and share a meal or have a conversation, having fellowship, that exchange that you have with each other is a form to comfort each other. It says there, yourselves together. It means you give and you receive through that conversation, that you can be comforted, you can receive rest through that. That's a way that you rest. Think about leaving Sabbath services after a meal, or you went to a restaurant after a conversation. Did you ever feel like when you get home and just sit back and relax and think about the conversations, that those helped you? Oh, it helped me with this issue that I had. I had this problem, now I feel much, much better. Just the conversation that brethren have with each other. And I want to boast about you, brethren, not just you in this room, but everyone that will hear this message. Well, continue to do that. I've seen that, how brethren do that, and the effect that it has, I'm sure, is positive for everyone. A way to rest just through conversations, just to being close together, to invite each other, and then to comfort each other. It can be a direct or an indirect comment that somebody make, and it helps you. It helps you to feel that comfort, that stress reliever, that issue that suddenly is resolved in your life. But there is, brethren, another type of rest that we must come to experience. Three simple ways to experience rest, brethren. And that is in our relationships with God and with each other. What type? Let's go to Genesis 4 again. We rest in the fact that we have that pattern that God gives us each and every week to rest, to come together, to fellowship, to be strengthened with our conversations. Continue to do that, brethren. Find ways that you can do it even more. Sometimes, maybe if you are feeling lonely, invite somebody over. That can help you resolve certain issues that you might have. You don't necessarily address it directly, but just being together and comfort each other together is a wonderful way to do that. Let's go, as I said, Genesis chapter 4, and we will read verse 16. You remember I mentioned there's two ways that, or three ways, the two that I mentioned already, that Cain became a vagabond, a wanderer, a restless wanderer. He wasn't allowed to rest. Here in verse 16 it says, and Cain went out, we read it again, out from the presence of God. He was cut off from God. His sin cut him off from God. And he dwelt in the land of Nod. Now, many of you might be at a stage where you feel you're nodding off, maybe, when you hear the word Nod, but that's not what it means. The word Nod there, the land of Nod was, it means wandering. So, Cain wanted to settle. He certainly wanted to settle down. He wanted to build cities. We know that he did build cities, and he ultimately settled down. But the word of the land where he was sent is wandering. And that means that that was part of his punishment, that he became a restless wanderer. He never rested. God describes it in another place in Jude. He says that it's the way of Cain. Now, you and I have been called to walk and live a completely different way. And we are walking that way, and we are living that way already. Let's go to Genesis 5, verse 29. Genesis 5 and verse 29. Going here through the... if you look in verse 1, it says, God created man in his likeness, and it goes down through the genealogy of Adam and Eve, and we get down to verse 29 and says, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground. God cursed the ground, and he did not produce the fruit, as we have read, from Cain. But God called Noah. Noah had a purpose. His name, just as the land of Nod showed us what it was all about, it was about wandering. Noah's name tells us what his purpose was, and we already read it. It is to comfort and to give rest. That's what his name meant. He fulfilled his purpose. He gave those that came through the flood, he built the ark with a lot of help, and he fulfilled his purpose. He gave comfort and rest. And those two are interconnected, having comfort and to have rest. Noah gave, brethren, comfort to those that came through the flood concerning the punishment of Cain. You and I, brethren, we have a purpose as well. We know we have been called for a purpose. Let's go to 2 Timothy. You and I have a purpose. We have a goal. We have been given a purpose from the beginning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we will pick up in verse 9. who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. When God called us, he didn't look at us and say, I want to pick you because of what you have done. He said here in verse 9, as we continue, it says, according to your works, but according to his own purpose and grace which he has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before even the sin of Cain, God had a purpose for you in mind. He had a purpose for no one in mind. But here we are, and you and I have been called to have a purpose as well. How often do we think about that? Now, the elections went on just recently, and one of the analysts, something that stuck in my mind, said the president-elect that won the presidency, and throughout his campaign, they said one of the reasons they think that he won was the fact that he was able to stay on his message, to stay on a simple purpose. He had a purpose, and he was able to give that message over and over from the beginning unto the end. We have a purpose as well, brethren. God has given it to us. We understand our purpose. Understanding your and my calling, that we are at peace with God and others as well, as we've seen everyone, the goal there is to have inner rest. If we understand our purpose, that our calling, our purpose, and that we are at peace with God and with each other, the third point is to experience rest, that inner rest, to have inner peace. That's another way, the third way, that you and I must experience rest. Peace and comfort and rest within yourself. Not just the physical rest from work during the week or the rest that we receive through fellowship with each other, but that inner peace that you and I need, brethren, that is so, so important. Let's go to Psalm 34. All three of these points are interconnected and they are important, but this one, the third one, everyone, this one is a little bit more difficult sometimes. We need this type of rest, but it doesn't come by itself. Just as the other points, we have to work at them. Psalm 34, verse 14, it says, depart from evil and do what is good. That's one thing that Cain did not do. He could not discern between good and evil at that point. And it says here, seek peace and pursue it. That's one thing that you and I have to do, is to seek and pursue peace. To pursue peace in our lives, that inner peace that will help us to experience rest within yourself. Brethren, Satan, self, and society are stacked against us to rob us from rest, this type of inner rest. Rejecting that inner pull that Cain could not do. He did not have God's Spirit. With God's Spirit, you and I, we are able to reject, to put away that inner pull, as David says here, to depart from evil and to do what is good. We already looked at things that we can do that is good. But on a daily basis, everyone, as we do what is right, put away that what is wrong, sets us on a path of pursuing peace and comfort, not just with God but within ourselves as well. Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we will pick up in verse 4. We strive to do the right thing each and every day as we look forward to the Sabbath day. But what about those 6 days that we go through? before we get to the rest that we experience today. Philippians 4 verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful of nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. We are approaching Thanksgiving just a couple of days away here in North America, in the U.S. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. How do you see the peace that surpasses all understanding? Brethren, put every human being in that situation that Cain was in without God's Spirit, in a world where we have to battle Satan, self, and society, and each time that person will become a restless wanderer. But you and I, if we see a brother, or we see a sister, a fellow member, in a difficult situation, that they have peace, when there's turmoil around them, like when we walked the cities that we walked in, and you went through certain things, or there are people that go through certain things, or there are things that people struggle in their minds, think about things that you face each and every day of the week, those struggles that you go through. If you can have peace within yourself each and every day, that is a way to show God's peace. That's not your peace. It's the peace that comes from God. It's that peace that doesn't bring understanding, or people cannot understand it. They see you are different. Your response is completely different in that circumstance. When turmoil is going about around you, unrest, it shows God's peace at work within you. That is something to be thankful about. That's something to rejoice about. Let's go to Colossians, just a couple of verses on. A couple of chapters, a different book, so to speak, but just a couple of pages on. Colossians 3, everyone, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's the instruction that we have been given, that it should rule in our hearts, to which you were called. We were called. We understand our calling. We understand our purpose. Part of our understanding that purpose is God called us to have peace within ourselves. That's something that is difficult to do, brethren. We have been called to do that. How do you do that? How do you find peace to rule in your mind? How do you do that? Apply the first 2 points that I talked about already. The Sabbath day that we have, that pattern that God has given us, follow that. That's one way. Another way to do that is follow the second point. To find comfort between brethren, the relationships that you have already, that you strengthen those relationships. That's a way that will bring peace within you. And a third one that we read already in Matthew is just cast your cares unto God through prayer. Very, very simple. That will bring peace within you, brethren. That one that's so elusive, God says you have to pursue it. You have to chase after it. What is the opposite of a restless wanderer? We already looked at it, brethren. We can look at our lives, the life that God has given us, the pattern that He has given us to keep the Sabbath. Let's go to Psalm 140. As we begin to conclude, Psalm 140. I have too many bookmarks here in my Bible, struggling to to turn here. You are already there. Psalm 140. I'll get there eventually. And we will pick up and in verse 13. It says, surely the righteous shall give thanks. We already read a couple of times where you and I are giving thanks unto the unto your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Cain wasn't allowed in God's presence. We read that he was put away from God's presence. You and I, brethren, are in his presence. It says there, to dwell is to lodge. My wife and I, when we lodge, we were so thankful. Sometimes late at night, you come at your lodge. Where's the shower? Where's the place where I can have rest? You and I can rest in God. We rest in his word. We rest in his way of life. We rest in applying the points that we already mentioned today. It is to find habitation. All the word dwell can mean to rest. In God's presence, you will experience all three of those ways of resting, brethren. That's what we have been given. If you think back the opposite, what is a life of restless wandering? We have been given a great, great privilege. Let's go to a final couple of verses, and that is in Psalm 91. Thinking about you and me, making God our refuge, his way of life, our dwelling place. We can do that. We have peace with God. We have peace with each other. We have peace within us. And we can read Psalm 91. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the protection of God. Cain could not have that protection. You and I have it. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Do you feel that, brethren, when you are in God's presence, when you rest for the Sabbath, when you do Bible study, when you are together as God's people and just conversing, fellowshipping, that you feel that rest and knowing through what we do, this is what we can experience, that protection, that just like a mother hen protects chicks, God protects you and me through those things that we do, that types of rest that we experience. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day. We are protected from the things that's happening outside. Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. There was a point when my wife and I walked and a pickpocketer tried to steal her wallet that was around her neck with a passport in and a green card in. Imagine if he was able to take it, she would not be able to travel. God, in that, protected us, protected her. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come to you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near to you. For he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your feet against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall you tread underfoot. Because, why? Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call on me and I will answer him. He will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with a long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is brethren, just reading that psalm should give you comfort and rest. Go again this evening and go through that psalm and read it with the points that we made today. Brethren, Cain's punishment, that awful punishment that he received, resulted in a world that's restless, wondrous. But you and I, brethren, we understand, we live, and we experience rest according to the pattern that God has set for us, that seven-day pattern that we follow, that we anticipate each week, those opportunities that we have to come together, to build those bonds between each other, and ultimately, brethren, to understand our purpose, to know that if we follow our purpose and are in pursuit of inner peace, that peace that God called us to, those three points, that ultimately you and I will experience the rest the way God intended.